This is Neil Whiteside. Cambridge 105
Radio. Well, the Rocky Horror Show comes to Cambridge next week. It's playing at the Arts Theatre, and the narrator for the Cambridge leg is played by Steve Punt, who joins me on the line now. Steve, good afternoon.
Hi there.
You're no stranger to Cambridge, are you?
Well, no. I spent three extremely enjoyable years there as a student, and in fact started my career at the Arts Theatre, so it's a rather important place for me personally.
A nice place for you to come home to.
Yes. I mean, actually, it's always nice when you're touring to go somewhere that you kind of know. And you don't have those sort of wandering around wondering where you can buy this or buy that. Although having said that, of course, there's quite a few changes in the town because my student years were years ago now. But of course, the shape of Cambridge hasn't changed very much.
Indeed, indeed.
So, and in fact, being there for the whole week, because obviously I've done gigs there and come up, but generally for one-off things. So actually having a full week, I'm going to really walk around properly and enjoy a bit of nostalgic wandering about, I suspect.
I was going to say, some of the pubs and clubs, because you were involved in the Footlights, weren't you, for a real run?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I was in the same year as Hugh Dennis and Nick Hancock, and we did our show, summer show at the Arts, and it's very very fond memories of the place, and also various sort of college cellars, and also places round about we used to do gigs. So we did one in Hartford, and we did one in Royston Village Hall. And one in Ely somewhere. So, by the third year, you're sort of heading out and about around the area generally.
And it is a real case of that. That got you. Do you feel that got you started? I mean, it always seems to be, if you've been in Footlights, that people are watching.
It's extraordinary experience. I have to say, is the main thing about it. It's kind of. It's very unusual, I think, and I think I realised this when we got to Edinburgh, that the Edinburgh Festival. It's very unusual for a student show to do a full tour and to wind up in one of the larger and better venues at the Edinburgh Fringe. It's sort of a strange hybrid of a student show that is sort of treated like a professional show, which is very odd. And of course, it all falls away the moment the moment they put your degree certificate in your hand and you actually leave. Of course, it all vanishes. But what it leaves you with is this amazing chance to perform to big theatres and to full audiences. And I think it did. Hugh and I, when we started performing in clubs and stuff, we had all that experience behind us, and I think that did help enormously.
Which do you prefer? Do you prefer the writing? Do you prefer radio, TV, or live performance? But even your radio work is often in front of a live audience, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, they all have their advantages, and I think Hugh always says as well that when you're doing one, you always sort of wish you were doing the other because they all have different strengths and weaknesses. So the great thing about radio is that you don't have to learn it, so that you can you can perform with complete confidence because half of your brain isn't trying to remember the lines.
Television
obviously adds the whole sort of visual side of comedy and funny costumes and wigs. I personally love funny wigs. Theatre is great. Touring is great because it's live and no show is quite the same. And you, if things go wrong, you can't just edit it out. You have to fold it into the show. Writing is actually probably my favourite thing because that was what I started out wanting to be. And I like the... it never feels like work to me, whereas performing, I still get a little bit of nerves and performing still feels like work.
Well, I was going to say.
I know it's not work, really, but it does feel that little bit sort of like it's always felt a little bit like work, whereas writing has never felt like work to me.
Well, I mean, you're really putting yourself out for it with the Rocky Horror Show, aren't you? Because that really is performing at every level, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. But it's a very defined part. And also, you are, as I say, you are kind of stepping into a sort of a slightly iconic role. So actually, the truth is the audience, a lot of the audience, it's almost like doing Shakespeare. They kind of know the part already.
Yeah.
And in fact, the director said to me when we were rehearsing, he said, if you forget the lines, don't worry, because the audience will know them better than you, which I don't think is the case any longer, but it probably was for the first few weeks. And so the audience are kind of on your side. There's a lot of good-natured sort of shouting and you know, there's a little touch of the sort of panto element to the narrator, but the audience are, it's not like, you know, it's not like stand-up where the audience are looking to challenge you, although they do occasionally shout the challenging thing, particularly on a Saturday night.
What made you get involved? What made you get involved in it? Did you apply or did they approach you?
They approached me, and my initial reaction was, my initial reaction was slight shock to realise that I was now old enough to be asked to play the narrator. But then I thought, actually, I think because I've done a lot of stuff for Radio 4, I think the narrator is officially supposed to be like a criminologist. He is supposed to be a bit of an academic. So I think that slightly sort of Radio 4-ish air that I've managed to acquire, apparently, is kind of right for the part. And I think that it sort of sets the narrator apart from, because it's quite fun that he stands outside, because obviously the main story, if you know the show, is a sort of completely weird selection of quite bizarre people who are doing extremely bizarre things, whereas the narrator is a very straight, sort of slightly academic, old-fashioned man in a or woman, in fact, narrators of both sexes on this tour, but the narrator is a character who wears a velvet smoking jacket and is really a very sort of old-fashioned kind of anchor to the show. So I think it was a brave call, actually, I guess, because I haven't done a lot of straight theatre. But I think that some stand-up experience is quite useful because, you know, the audience do heckle the narrator. And so and I know from talking to the rest of the cast that they, you know, they're brilliant singers and dancers and incredibly versatile, but they're not used to, you know, they haven't done comedy clubs.
No.
They're not used to heckling, so... It's actually quite a good part for a comedian.
Indeed, indeed. Now, I mean, as we've said, as you yourself said as well, it's iconic now. I mean, it's been going around for 40, 50 years nearly. And it's kind of ready for a new generation, isn't it?
I hope so, yeah. I mean, you do get people who saw the original production was in the mid-70s, and you get quite a lot of people coming round and saying, oh, you know, I saw that production, and then they introduce you to their kids who they've brought to see it. And I think the audience is all ages now. Well, actually, there's no, they don't recommend anybody under 12 comes because
they're
quite rude in places. But I think from for broad-minded parents, it's kind of from mid-teens onwards, and so I wouldn't call it a family show, but it is certainly has an appeal to all ages, I think. And I suspect it always has, because, of course, although it was written in the 70s, the music is really sort of rooted in the 50s.
Yeah.
So it feels very timeless now, I think, because actually... it's dated much less than maybe they would have thought, because, of course, music is now all available all the time. in a way they couldn't have possibly known in the 70s. So it feels amazingly fresh, actually, and some of the subject matter feels almost topical. And so it seems to be a show that just has never stopped being relevant, really.
All right, so you can dress up or not. That's the message I think we're trying to get across, isn't it?
Oh, the dressing up is optional. I mean, you will see people in the... In fact, it always one of my favourite things about touring with the show is that if you wander around the town in which it is playing about an hour before the show, you will notice bemused people in pubs wondering why a bunch of people in lab coats have just walked in with stitches painted on their face, or people dressed as sort of weird cinema usherettes, or but that aspect of it is entirely optional. It's I would say that not only do you not have to dress up, most of the audience won't dress up.
Fair enough. Well, that's
but there will be, particularly at the weekend, there will be a few who do not be too shocked if you find yourself sitting next to someone made up as a kind of zombie biker.
There's a lot of it in Cambridge anyway, as you know. We're well used to that.
Yeah, no dressing up required.
Indeed.
So yeah, I mean it's a bit like going to see a gig, actually. You know, some people have got all the Tour t-shirts going back 40 years, and the badges and the tattoos, and other people have come from work, you know.
Indeed.
So it's a very mixed community, I would say.
Oh, it must be fun to play too. Steve, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the phone this afternoon. Really looking forward to seeing you back in Cambridge.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. I've been particularly looking forward to Cambridge, actually, because Cambridge wasn't on the last tour, and I have a feeling it's a few years since the show played in Cambridge, so I'm particularly pleased to be doing it.
There'll be some pent-up demand, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Excellent. Steve Punt, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
There we are. So that's the Rocky Horror Show. It's on at the Cambridge Arts Theatre starting next Monday. Evening performances Monday to Thursday, 7:45, Friday and Saturday at 8:30. There's also matinee performances at 5:30 on Friday and Saturday. Tickets are priced between £25 and £45, including a £3 per ticket booking fee. Available through cambridgeartstheatre.com, cambridgeartstheatre.com. And my thanks again to Steve Punt for joining us on the phone.